भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text Number 41. Vasudeva Bhavanam भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतां ईश्वरं प्रार्च सय्यद् वयं पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगताम ईश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगताम ईश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगताम् ईश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च वसुदेव भवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च वसुदेव मनानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च सत्त्वं कृतागतः वासुदेवानूनं भक्त्या परमया हरिं जगतामीश्वरं प्रार्च सयद्वां पुत्रतां गतः वसुदेव ओ वसुदेव भवान् Your good self, meaning doubtlessly, bhaktya with devotion, paramaya supreme, harim Lord Krishna, jagatam of all the worlds, Ishwaram, the supreme controller, prachaha, have worshipped thoroughly, saha, he, yet, in as much, vam, of both of you, Vasudev and Devaki, putratam, the role of son, gataha, has taken on. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O Vasudev, without doubt, you must have previously worshipped Lord Hari, the master of all worlds. Both you and your wife must have perfectly worshipped him with supreme devotion, since he has accepted the role of your son. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti paraphrases the sage's mood as follows. We have answered you, who questioned us in a manner of ordinary discourse, in the same ordinary way. In truth, however, since you are the eternally liberated Father of the Supreme Lord, neither worldly customs nor the injunctions of Scripture have any authority over you. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the very name Vasudev indicates that Vasudev manifests brilliantly Divyati, the super excellent wealth Vasu of pure devotional service. In the 11th canto, Narada will again meet with Vasudev, and at that time remind him, Devarshi bhutatmanam pitrinam nakin karunayam rinicharajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam kato mukundam parihityakartam. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even his forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. And that verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 41, quoted here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Vishnu Paranaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Shmati Shri Shri Bahu Prabhuti Name Shri Shri Vinyati Vivir Parapanka Jadayana Prabhupada Nivadayana Maha Shri Virabhavi Vishnu Paranaya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pichayane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatari Shitani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare So I thought what I'll do is, since this is a very important verse, 11.5.41, Devarshi Bhutapta, I'd like to go to that text and read part of the purport, just to give us an idea of what is actually written there, what Srila Prabhupada said. One who has not fully surrendered to the devotional service of the Lord undoubtedly has many material duties to perform. Every ordinary conditioned soul is a recipient of innumerable benefits given by the demigods, who provide sun and moonshine, rain, wind, food, and ultimately one's own material body. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Stena Eva Sau, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 12.
One who does not reciprocate with the demigods by offering them sacrifice is sthena, or a thief. Similarly, other living entities such as cows are providing us with innumerable delicious and nutritious foodstuffs. Here's a little list of all the things that we are getting, just in case we forget. Similarly, other living entities such as the cows are providing us with innumerable delicious and nutritious foodstuffs. When we wake up in the morning, our mind is refreshed by the sweet singing of birds. And on a hot day, we enjoy the cool shade and breeze of the forest trees. How many of you remember Krishna when you actually get the sweet, the cool breeze and the cool shade of trees? Now we are getting trained up to actually thank the Lord and the different demigods for all these different benefits. We are accepting service from innumerable living entities, and we are obligated to repay them. Apta means one owns family members, to whom one is certainly obligated according to normal morality. And what is that word, Naim? Ninam. It doesn't print properly here. Ninam means human society. Until one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is certainly a product of his society. We receive mundane education, culture, tradition, and protection from the society in which we live, and thus we owe a great debt to society. Of course, our debt to society is not simply to the present order, but to all of our forefathers and ancestors who carefully preserved moral and social customs so that we, their descendants, could live peacefully. Therefore, the word Pita, Pitrinam, or forefathers, indicates our debt to previous generations. So here's a little description. There's more to it. I'm going to read a few other parts of it, but it just goes to show how much indebted we are. Coming into the world, everyone thinks, well, it's time you're a baby, and then you're fondled. You're cared for, you get friends later on, you start going to school and enjoy life. You grow up and then education, then you get married, and then life goes on, and most people in the world don't actually think that they are indebted to anyone or anything. And so we are just being reminded here of all of this. Now in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 12, quoted here, what does it say? In charge of, this is the translation. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. So everything we get, there is a in America, they have the Thanksgiving Day, a day put aside for giving thanks. So here we see, if you don't give thanks, if you don't reciprocate with all the things that we're getting, then we're certainly a thief. Now, part of the purport, in that Bhagavad Gita purport. The demigods, they are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. Now, in other places in Bhagavad Gita, you would see that one should not worship demigods. Because when we worship demigods, we are worshipping Krishna in a wrong way. Avidhi purvakam is described. So, but here, like the Hindus in general, They worship the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Durga Devi, Lakshmi Devi, and so forth. Those who want money, they worship Lakshmi Devi. And Srila Prabhupada also described in different places that if you want good health, for example, he said, you can worship the sun god, Surya. If you want money, you can worship Lakshmi Devi. But in Krishna consciousness, we have seen that in Bhagavad Gita, especially that verse that says, Avidhi Purvakam, you're worshipping the demigods in the wrong, you're worshipping Krishna in the wrong way by worshipping the demigods. Demigods, they are receiving their gifts, they are receiving their power from Krishna. So, we are trained up in Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada to worship Krishna in the Sankirtan process, chanting the names of the Lord. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yagyas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to different qualities. For example, this is an important part. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddess Kali, the ghastly form of material nature. And before the goddess, the sacrifice of animals is recommended. But for those who are in a mode of goodness, the transcendental worship is Vishnu is recommended. So according to different qualities, different modes, you worship different deities. But ultimately, all yagyas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yagyas, known as Pancha Maha Yagya, are necessary. I have 2 brothers who are Hindu priests, and they do pujas for other people. and they are doing this, they are doing these 5 different yagyas, I guess. Maybe not perfectly, but they are doing some of that. And sometimes we have discussion on it. But because they are attached to doing it, and they are attached to the, I guess, the respect and the fruits, they don't take the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and the Sankirtan Yajna very seriously. And they'll also say, most Hindus would say, well, we also chant Hare Krishna, we also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But what is important is the mentality. How are we chanting? Are we chanting with the idea that this is the real process of the age and this is the recommended process of the age? Discussions sometimes go into the idea that there are different processes for different ages, and so in this age, in the age of Kali, the Sankirtan Yajna, this sacrifice is recommended for this age. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that the human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. They are just agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Take, for example, all the eatables of human society. These eatables include grains, fruits, vegetables, milk, sugar, etc. for the persons in the mode of goodness. And also eatables for the non-vegetarians like meats, none of which can be manufactured by men. So all of these, Srila Prabhupada is describing here, that all these different things are coming not from the world itself, but from the demigods or the representatives of the Lord. Then again, take for example heat, light, water, air, etc., which are also necessities of life. None of them can be manufactured by the human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall, breeze, etc., without which no one can live. And not only that, but there are details of all of these. For example, if the sun, Srila Prabhupada described, even if the sun tilts only a fraction of a degree, then everything on the face of the world will be burnt to ashes. Everything has to be so very exact. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. Yajña means sacrifice. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy because they have no aim in life. The gross materialist thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification. Nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajñas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajña, namely the Sankirtan yajña, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. So, we see here that we are in debt, we are indebted, and we are indebted to so many different personalities. We are indebted to the Supreme Lord Himself, we are indebted to the demigods, great sages. We are indebted to ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even his forefathers. So, we know the word putra or putri. Putra means the son who can deliver his forefathers or his father. Putra. Tra means to deliver, and put means hell. One who can deliver from hell. So, we have this responsibility to take care of all the forefathers, helping them. And for us, we perform the Sankirtan Yajna to help them. Srila Prabhupada described Prahlad Maharaj at how, even though he was a very young boy, that he was able to save his father from going to hell. In fact, when Lord Nrisimhadev killed him, Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't want to ask anything. The Lord asked him, "What would you like? Please ask me some benediction." And of course, Prahlad didn't want anything. He said, first of all, he said that, "I am not a merchant, my dear Lord. I am not a businessman. I just want to do pure devotional service. I just want to worship you." And so, finally he asked, he was forced by Lord Nrisimhadev to ask for something, more or less. And then he asked for the liberation of his father. Lord Nrisimhadev told him that your father is already liberated, and not just him, but 21 generations. Some places I heard, I've never seen it anywhere, but it says 10 generations before and 10 generations after. The 21 generations are freed from the cycle of birth and death by the devotee becoming Krishna conscious and engaging in the Sankirtan movement. It is described one who surrenders fully. So, in some places, Srila Prabhupada said, all the members of the Hare Krishna movement, those who have surrendered to this path, that they are all pure devotees, and they all can free their relatives from birth and death. So, it is such a wonderful process, and it's such a fresh understanding of what the world is like. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was thinking, being born in a Hindu family, I thought that was it. You just worship the demigods, you take some prasadam, and we used to go to different religious functions, and I think that this is all there is to life. Most people actually think like that who follow that system. But now we're getting to know why, by good fortune, by the mercy of the devotees, we're getting a chance to understand what life is all about, and what is it that we need to actually do in order to become free of the entanglements, the suffering of the material world, birth, disease, old age and death. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Okay, I'll read another part. Okay, go ahead. forgot the name. Tarun.
Hi, bro.
Tarun.
Good morning. Does it ever end? In other words, I heard that there's so many levels of religiosity. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman, Pratyaja, Sarva Dharman. So many levels. And even in the species of life, 400,000 human species, and their question is, does it ever end? Because I heard that even in the spiritual world, it's canvassing. In other words, Lalita, I heard Lalita's canvassing devotees from other rasas, even to her party. I heard that. So, not that I'm asking that there should be an end, but it seems like it's, one has, like Prabhupada once said, one has to be regulated within irregularity. Even our philosophy, achintya beda beda tattva, means it's steady yet it's moving. Yet it's steady, like in the beginning we learned, the sun is fixed and the planets are moving around the sun. Later on we learn, remember that sun? That's also moving. So then, is there any end to it? Or is it just continue.
Any end to what?
The bhakti, the shuddha bhakti, mixed bhakti, and then the five rasas are going on, and then within each rasa there's also so many groups. It seems like the more books we read, like Prabhupada says, Rupada Agunata Pade Haibe Akuti, Kabihama Buja Vase Jugala Piti, Naratam Dastakur, that when we give up Vishaya Chadiya, then we go when will I be interested in the books of the Goswamis, which are on another level?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it seems like there's a song. Yeah,
More and more. Yeah. there is no end to the suffering in the material world until we come to Krishna consciousness. But in terms of more bhakti, there's always more and more. That's the fact.
In sixth canto, third chapter, where Daksha, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, he was the best religious man and karmakandi, in a sense, Prabhupada writes, footy activities. And even though he was the son of a Brahma, so he could live like Brahma, never die. Brahma never dies. So end of his life, he goes back home. He only goes to sleep in his 100 years. Brahma never die in generally terms. So yet he was such a good Vedic follower. He was doing that verse that you read. Prabhupada put, I think, 4 or 5 purport in those Daksha's discussion with the Narad Muni, where Narad Muni was cursed by him after Narad Muni delivered his sons twice, 10,000 first time and then 1,000. So Prabhupada made a very interesting point. He repeated in a purport again and again that Daksha understood the religious principle, but he was not Krishna consciousness. So then I was thinking, what? So then Prabhupada made a very nice point that Narad Muni was Krishna consciousness, and he was such a good Krishna consciousness that he delivered the ultimate purpose of those sons' life. But Daksha thought that anybody is born in a Brahman family has a three deaths. And that verse is quoted, Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Pittinam, that you are glorifying that. He says there is a three deaths. One death is as soon child is born in a Gurukuli or Brahman family, we are in the same category, that he has to remain celibate to pay the debts to sages. That's why it's a Devarshi.
Mm-hmm.
That word is there. Then he has to get married and produce children to pay debts to the Pitrinam, mm-hmm. the forefathers. Then while he is in the family life, he should do these five jagna, and so this way demigods are pleased. So then Daksha says, through the experience of life, he will gather knowledge where he will see the hard struggle for existence, and then the idea of liberation will be born, and then he will be liberated. But Narad Muni did a mistake. That's his calculation.
Mm.
He did not allow this innocent child to experience the hard struggle of material existence. He just told them that this life is useless, you should only endeavor for bhakti. And you know. So this was a big conflict. As a big conflict, even till today in India, amongst the Hindus versus the Hare Krishna people. They misunderstand. So I thought it was very appropriate, that one.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Madam Mohan Prabhu.
In that same conversation, Prabhupada refuted the logic that Daksha used about sense gratification and the suffering will produce a desire to renounce. And remember the example that he gave? He gave the example of a lady who gives birth, and it's extremely painful. The pain of giving birth, so they say, I'll never do that again. That, so they pointed out that it doesn't work like that. The covering potency is more efficient than your mental activity.
Right, thank you. One over there, Srivindavan.
Hari Guru Prabhu. So about the debts in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, maybe you already quoted that verse, 11.5.41.
Yeah, Bhutapta. Devarshi Bhutapta.
One is completely absolved of all debts.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, completely absolved of all debts if we are engaged in devotional service. So like Prabhupada goes in great detail that we are not indebted to anyone if we
right.
engage in devotional service.
Yeah. And I there is a verse by Madhavendra Puri. And I was becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. I was thinking, should I continue worship Lord Shiva or should I chant japa? Because in the morning you'll offer in the Hindu culture you'll offer water to the sun god and offer water to the lingam so many times, 108 times, and so I had that problem. Should I spend the time worshipping the lingam or should I chant the japa? Because I have to get ready for work. There wasn't enough time. So then I came across that verse by Madhavendra Puri. I don't know where I got it. Somehow or other it just showed up. And it's saying that my dear Snan, all three baths of the day that you're supposed to take, my dear three baths, please forgive me. And then, what was... Yeah, that was the final part. But basically he was saying, please forgive me for not worshipping you, not continuing, you know, the different responsibilities that you have, materially speaking. And now that I have gotten the feet of Lord Krishna, this is sufficient for me. So then I changed.
It's sort of like we are not proud, but we are
mad
that we are happy with Krishna.
Oh, my evening prayer, all good unto you. Oh, my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. Oh, demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins, simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me, so what is the use of further endeavors? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. Yeah, wait for the microphone.
On the point of debt, Prajumna Prabhu pointed out that Prajumna traveled with Prabhupada. He said that before you grab on, you want to go to a higher deity, a higher conception of spirituality. So you're holding on to one, but to get on to the next, you have to let go of the lower one. But don't, be in the abyss of the middle. You have to grab onto a higher deity and let go as you're climbing, like climbing a mountain or anything. You say your next step, you have to give up the step before. And otherwise we couldn't perform bhakti. If we're still indebted, we're walking around with all these debts, We wouldn't be able to walk, we would just be weighed down.
But luckily we have the Sankirtan Yajna, the sacrifice to perform.
And the same idea with money. You have a $100 bill, that includes the 50, 20, 5, plus more.
Exactly. Jai. We'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.